Welcome to Downloadable Content. My name is Alex Herschel, and today I'm going to be telling you about why Bowser's Fury is actually a pretty so-so Mario game. Let's get right into it. Herschel. Bam, 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 na, 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 na. Herschel. Bam, na, na, na. Herschel. Bam, 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 na, 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 na. Bam, na, na, na. Herschel. Bam, na, 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 na. Welcome back to Downloadable Content. As you can tell by that glorious homemade intro, it's still just me today. SJ is still in Japan. Actually, at the time of this recording, SJ landed yesterday, but we want to give him some time to recover. He spent quite a few weeks in Japan and then had a very long travel home, and so I'm not entirely sure when we'll be able to record an episode together. And I told you guys in our last episode that I'd be giving you another one of these mini episodes to help kind of tide over until SJ returns. And so we're just gonna go ahead and roll with it. And I'll tell you about Bowser's Fury. So Bowser's Fury is a short little package that comes when you buy Mario 3D World for the Switch. Nintendo wanted to give you kind of more than just a port as a reason to buy the game again when they ported it over to the Switch. And I had heard nothing but good things about this game. Like, people claiming it that it was the best 3D Mario ever, that they couldn't wait for the next full 3D Mario to come out because of what they were kind of testing with Bowser's Fury. The thing about Bowser's Fury is a lot of people took it as like a practice run for Nintendo, where they were able to put some things out for Mario that they just kind of wanted to try, because 3D World is a pretty popular Mario game, and they knew that a lot of people were going to buy it, and so it was kind of like a good focus group. At least is what I've heard a lot of people say about the game. And so as such, it's not a full game. It only took me about 3 or 4 hours to complete. And you could definitely do it quicker than that. I was definitely taking my time just kind of moseying around. And I have pretty split opinions on the game as a whole. And so I'm going to start with the negatives and then end on a positive note. That's kind of how I try to do things. That's definitely not always the case. You guys would know better than anyone based on how these episodes go. But we'll just kind of hop right into it and go from there. So Bowser's Fury. What is not so great about it? It is a very, very repetitive game. So the way that it's kind of split up is You're thrown into this world after the intro, and it's just kind of one big world. And areas of it are still kind of siphoned off. You still have to collect... this game's version of stars are called cat shines. So I'm just going to call them shines for the sake of simplicity. And you still have to collect a certain amount to unlock other areas of the game. But there are... you know, for all intents and purposes, it's all in one... big level. So by the time you reach the end of the game and all the areas are unlocked, you can go anywhere without having to go through like loading screens. It's just, if you want to go somewhere, go. And sorry, I'm still not into like the negatives. That's actually a good thing that I'll talk about more later. But the problem with this is, within that big level, areas are kind of split up by these islands and this big lake that you're exploring. And each island has 5 shines. There's 5 to each. And this brings up my first problem with the game, is that each island has very, very similar shines that you're doing. You have 2 or 3... shines that are a bit more unique to like the island's design. Each island kind of has its own gimmick or theme, and they kind of roll with that for the first 3 shines of the island or so. But then there are also like a rotating bit of a few different options of shines that are just repeated throughout. So there's like a fragment shine where throughout the course of the island, you pick up 5 shine shards, and then that gives you a shine. And you do that, like, literally, like, 7 or 8 times throughout the game. There's one where, throughout the game, Bowser periodically shows up as, like, a mini-boss that kind of interrupts your progress. And he's, like, shooting fire and, you know, these big missiles all over the place. And almost every island has a part where you need Bowser to go into that kind of attack mode. It happens about every 15 minutes or so, is what I would estimate or guess. And he sends these things, and you just kind of have to get him to target you and blow up these blocks somewhere on the island that are hiding a shine. And so you do that a lot as well. You'll also get a timed shine where you, like, press a switch on the ground, and, you know, the island shows up these invisible blocks that you hadn't seen before, and you have, like, 20 seconds to get to the end of it where there's a shine. And so you do that a lot. And so this is my problem with it, is that I think about a game like Mario Odyssey, right? Or Mario Galaxy, both of which are my favorite Mario games. And there's a way to have similar levels so that you don't have to be creating everything from the ground up every single time, but still make it interesting, right? Like, in Mario Odyssey, there are moons that are just kind of thrown out over the level, and those aren't very interesting, but there's 830 moons, so it's not like it's like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't quite feel the same. Like, those I'm a bit more okay with. And then in Mario Galaxy, there are times where, like, with the comets, you're doing very similar things, but the levels themselves feel different enough in their theme, in their music, in their scope, that, again, it isn't an issue. Whereas here, the shines just feel so similar so much of the time. And so that wasn't something that I particularly enjoyed. We'll talk a bit more about Bowser for a second. Like I said, Bowser shows up as, like, this mini-boss that you can either ignore, or you can take a power-up and go fight him about every 15 minutes. And I don't know quite where I feel about this, because on first thoughts, I feel pretty negative, because I feel like it happens so often, where it's too short of a period in between. But I also don't know if there's really a solution to that, because say you're going after one of those shines where you need Bowser to show up and blow up some blocks, and you're just sitting there waiting, like, that's not going to be a good experience either. So it's not something that I personally enjoyed, but I also don't want to say it's a full criticism, because I don't, because of how the game was designed and how these shines were implemented, I'm not sure that there's, like, a better solution. So it is kind of, it seems like a best case scenario. It's not really a full critique of the game. And then lastly, the gameplay is good. It's based off of Mario 3D World, obviously. So it's not like a full, 3D Mario game. Your movement does feel a bit more stilted and not quite as smooth as you would see in something like Odyssey or Mario Galaxy. But that's to be expected. Again, that's not really a full complaint, because they were using the same engine as they were in 3D World. So that's, again, just like a personal choice, where because of what I thought the game was, I was a little disappointed. But if I had been more educated and clear on what the game was, then I wouldn't really have that complaint. So those are the main negatives, but now let's get into the things that are good about the game. I actually think the length of the game is very, very good for what this is, because it's very clear that it isn't as polished as a full Mario release. It's okay that it's shorter, and it's good. It's good that it's short, and you can get in and out pretty quickly. Another good thing is the music. And honestly, I can't even say that all of the music is great, because not a lot of them are very memorable to me. But there is one, the main theme that you kind of get as you're roaming on the lake in between different islands, is this beautiful song. I'm pretty sure it's called Lake Lapcat, because that's where you are. correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And it's just this very nice little melody. You have this, I want to say flute. It's very much like a whistly, whistle-sounding instrument, playing this nice smooth melody in the background with some light wind instruments accompanying it. It's very pleasant. It's a very good song. So the music's good. Another thing that I like is that this game is fairly unique when it comes to Mario itself. That's something that I tend to appreciate in games, is how unique of an experience they provide. And it really is like they took Mario 3D World's gameplay, Mario Odyssey's ideas on what should happen when you get a shrine, and kind of how to implement level-based gaming in Mario, but with kind of the vibe and aesthetic of Mario Sunshine. I would say that the aesthetic is more clear to Mario Sunshine than 3D World, just because there's so much water and aquatic-based stuff that goes on in the game. Other people would probably disagree with me on that, but you're listening to me on this podcast, so we're going to go ahead with what I think. Not that there's anything wrong with disagreeing with me, as we all know, as one of our favorite things to say on this show is Alex is usually wrong. He usually gets corrected by a lot of things. But with all of that, those are some good things about the game. And honestly, that's really all I have to say about it. You know, it's a short game, so there isn't much to talk about. It's a good game. It's a good game, and I recommend that everyone try it. But I would definitely be a voice of caution that that the hype around the game, I feel, is a little bit undeserved. For everything that went well with the music, with the overworld being open and you being able to just kind of go where you want, there's still a bit of hollowness behind that. And in a lot of cases where Mario games have, you know, their main idea that they're trying out, you know, this game has that, having one big world that you're going around. That's a really good idea, and I hope that that is implemented in the next full 3D Mario game. But all the stuff that makes Mario great behind that, all the polish, all the level design, all the abilities to move how you want, the cool power-ups, that isn't quite as present in here. So there's, it's a spectacle of a game, but it's not quite as complete or fully baked as I would have hoped that it would have been. But that is where I'm going to leave it for this episode. Hopefully you have all enjoyed this. Now that SJ is back, we are very excited to get back and get into some more Zelda Tears of the Kingdom content, as well as hearing about his trip to Japan. With this episode going up, I'll be posting pictures from my honeymoon, because I said I was going to do that and then didn't. And then also some pictures that SJ has sent to me that he's approved to be posted to the podcast, to kind of give you an update on how that trip went before we actually get to talk to him about it. But yeah, this has been Downloadable Content. We'd like to thank our podcast sponsors and Patreon producers. We have Joshua, Tyler, and Grandpappy. Thank you to the three of them. They are incredible. We're very grateful for them. Go ahead and follow us on social media and join our Discord and send us emails. All that information will be in the episode description. Once again, this has been Downloadable Content. I've been Alex. You've been fantastic. We're very grateful for all of your support. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you very, very soon. New.